Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Like Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. Now, last week I seem to remember I was in a rather pastoral mood, but this week we're going to be rather more lush and romantic. But we're going to start with something a little bit unusual, certainly by a composer that's never appeared in this series before, and a little dip back into sort of musical theatre in the 18th century. The composer is Charles Dibdin, and I'm going to play the overture to a little opera or serenata that he wrote in 1769 called The Ephesian Matron. I won't go into the plot. It's a farce. The overture is a mini symphony. It has three movements, a very fast bit, a slow bit, and then a not quite so fast bit. So it's a kind of a prototype of the kind of symphonies that were later so popular with by Haydn, Mozart and others. Dibdin himself was born in 1745 and died in 1814. So his life spans the lives of Haydn, Mozart and half of Beethoven's as well. Interesting composer. This particular entertainment, it was really a serenata, was written for and performed in Ranelagh Gardens, one of the great London pleasure gardens of the 18th century. And the newspaper report spoke very highly of the music, but more so of the brilliant audience, who was mainly wealthy people, I should imagine, and of all the illuminations on the canal and waterways in the gardens. Must have been quite a spectacular affair. Anyway, Charles Dibdin, his overture to The Ephesian Matron.
Thank you.
Well, something a little bit different to our usual opening of a light music evening, but I suppose that could have been considered lightish music in the 18th century. The overture to Charles Dibbin's opera The Ephesian Matron. I quite like that, really. It's about, what, less than 6 minutes. You imagine each of those three movements considerably expanded, and you've got an early Haydn symphony, really. The oboe writing was lovely, quite challenging horn parts, lovely flute and bassoon solos in the slow movement. Quite a nice little package. Now, must be a month ago now, I played some extracts from a once very popular symphony by Carl Goldmark, the Rustic Wedding Symphony. As I say, a work that used to be played often, used to feature in concert programmes very often indeed. A late Romantic symphony, very much of the Dvorak era. But I did come across something else by Carl Goldmark, which I thought you might be interested in. Totally different, of course, to our 18th century piece. It's the entrance march of the Queen of Sheba from Goldmark's opera, The Queen of Sheba, premiered in Vienna in 1875. Again, it had an enormous number of performances, 250, and was also performed at the Met in New York and at the Scala, Milan. The story is a very exotic one. The Queen of Sheba, or Saba. Saba is generally thought to be Yemen. But the only thing we really know about the Queen of Sheba is from Handel's delightful little piece, The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba, from his opera Solomon. Now, that's a very, very short piece. It's less than 3 minutes long, and it's hardly fitting for the arrival of a queen. But of course, Handel didn't call it The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba. It's just called a symphony. I think it was Beecham in the 1920s who possibly called it The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba. Now, in Goldmark's opera, of course, the queen gets a right royal welcome. This is a very substantial introduction entrance march. It must have included a very substantial ballet and a cast of thousands coming on and off the stage in hordes. I can't imagine it, really. Anyway, see what you think. Here's, a different kind of arrival of the Queen of Sheba from Carl Goldmark's famous opera. Thank you. exhausting. That was the entrance march, a huge opening scene there in the first act of Carl Goldmark's opera, The Queen of Sheba. I mean, good heavens. And then the choir comes in at the end, of course. It's a right royal welcome. I mean, it might have been designed by Cecil B. DeMille or choreographed by Busby Berkeley. I can just imagine, obviously, the Queen and her entourage will come in, they'd be seated, lots of nubile maidens or whatever, they're always hanging about, would have brought gifts of flowers, fruit, gold, slaves would have brought gold and gifts and all sorts of things, they would have been dancing, and then the choir at the end. Certainly somewhat puts Handel's arrival of the Queen of Sheba in the shade, but I suppose the Handel has one huge advantage over the Goldmark version. It's fairly brief. However, splendid piece. Hope you enjoyed it. Where to now? We need someone to calm us down a bit, don't we? Cecil Armstrong Gibbs, composer mainly known for symphonies, choral and vocal music, but he did write a tiny amount of delightful light music, including a suite, Fancy Dress. From that suite, Dusk. A light music classic there from Cecil Armstrong Gibbs, Dusk. And now a couple of pieces of Tchaikovsky, one short and sweet, and one rather longer and very colourful and vibrant. The first one is Sweet Dreams for violin and piano, a lovely little piece. It's a lullaby, and it comes from his album for the young. So, the next piece, well, I'll introduce that at the time. This is just something calm and very beautiful. Tchaikovsky, Sweet Dreams. Tchaikovsky from the album for the young, Sweet Dreams, originally violin and piano, there played by a string quartet. It makes a delightful salon piece, almost a kind of a palm court piece, really. But it's a lovely, lovely melody. It's a pity to overlook these short, delightful pieces. Right, now to something, well, a bit more red meat with Tchaikovsky. This is the finale of his second symphony. Now, we probably can't ever imagine a time when Tchaikovsky wasn't popular. I mean, he's one of the most popular classical composers of all time, and a handful of works are in the classical top 10. Not so this particular symphony. It's actually comparatively little known, although it's a splendid piece. Tchaikovsky was not that popular with his contemporaries during his lifetime. They actually thought that his music was a bit un-Russian, which seems very peculiar to us, because his music to us seems very Russian in feeling, completely Russian in feeling, in fact. But of course, his contemporaries included composers like Balakirev, Mussorgsky, Rimsky-Korsakov, Kui, composers like this who sort of rather saw themselves as a little group, as being the custodians of true sort of Russian music. The soul of Russia was in their music. And to a certain extent, that's true. Tchaikovsky's music was just considered far too German in nature. Well, things change. I mean, Balakirev's, say, Second Symphony, one of his finest pieces, is hardly heard today, whereas Tchaikovsky's symphonies, of course, are heard all over. Of course, Rimsky-Korsakov gets a fair hearing, but very few of his operas are well known, whereas Tchaikovsky's on Eugene Onegin or Peak Dam are heard and very much in the repertoire. Anyway, enough of all that. Tchaikovsky, not that popular. However, this symphony was nicknamed the Little Russian, because when it was written in 1872, it proved to be one of the very few works where Tchaikovsky uses real, actual Russian folk themes. And the folk song you'll hear in this finale is called Spin, Oh My Spinner. So, one of the most exciting, colourful and dashing pieces of music in the entire repertoire, the finale of Tchaikovsky's Second Symphony.
Thank you.
Herbert von Karajan and the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, the finale, very exciting, of Tchaikovsky's Second Symphony. We need something long, slow and languid now to calm us down. Vivaldi, of course. I'm going to play the alto aria, Cum Dederit Delectis Sum Somum, from Nisi Dominus, Psalm 127, composed by Vivaldi around 1715 at the time that he was a musical director, really, at the Pietà orphanage in Venice. It's sung for us this evening by Andrea Scholl, alto. Nisi Dominus, literally without God, and the actual piece itself, For So He Gives His Beloved Sleep. A wonderful, wonderful piece of Vivaldi. Thank you. A wonderful piece there by Vivaldi. It's the aria Cum Daedalit Delectis from the alto cantata Nisi Dominus of around 1715. I love this kind of hypnotic tread in the string accompaniment there. I mean, time seems to stand still, doesn't it, with that long, long-breathed, wonderful melody. I mean, really, Vivaldi is unique, I think, in the Baroque era for doing that. So there are wonderful things, of course. Wonderful, wonderful things by Albinoni, by Bach, Handel, and so on. But there's something special about Vivaldi in these very long lyrical passages. Miraculous. Sublime too. Well, not quite ridiculous, but here's something a bit nostalgic. This is Sweet and Low, famous song by Joseph Barmby. It's a lullaby with words by Tennyson, written in 1863 and immensely popular. It's sung for us this evening by the London Concert Artists.
Sweet and low, sweet and low, wind of the western sea.
Sweet and Low. And that brings us to the end of the programme. I hope you've enjoyed the selection. Rather more sort of rumbustious, romantic, lushly romantic feel. Not sure what's coming up next week. I'll have to delve into the collection of light music and see if we can find something interesting. In the meantime, we need something to play us out with. And I've chosen Sidney Torch's Amore Mio. Please join me again next Thursday at 9 for some more light music and some not-so-light music. But I hope you enjoy the mixture. Perhaps never quite certain what's coming up next, but then, to be quite honest, I don't want this to get around, but I'm not always certain what's coming up next either. Happy listening this week. Goodbye.